feel like I need to explain this study first. Breastfeeding is not something that is talked a lot about or examined often in chiropractic research. This is a pilot study that came out of a confluence of events. Dr. Hewitt is a chiropractor in Portland, Oregon, who sees many infants with breastfeeding problems who are brought to her practice. Mitch Haas is very committed to clinical practice research, and my background as a nurse is maternal child health, so I've worked with many mothers with breastfeeding issues. So the three of us, I think, created a nice team for approaching this particular problem. And we also need to recognize the support that was provided to us from Western States Chiropractic College. Okay, now, let's see. To start with, right now many mothers are seeking and receiving chiropractic consultation for ongoing breastfeeding problems, yet the evidence to support the efficacy of the treatments is limited and consists primarily of stories. And there's a couple case studies that are published in the peer-reviewed journals, but they are case studies. And we really need a systematic evaluation right now, especially given the public health goal to lengthen the duration of breastfeeding for the entire first year of life. So this pilot study was done to examine the feasibility of research on the efficacy of chiropractic treatment for breastfeeding problems. Okay, now, the national public health goals are to promote breastfeeding through the first year of life. Currently, the majority of mothers are predominantly breastfeeding, almost exclusively breastfeeding, when they're in the hospital after birth. Yet, 37% of these mothers stop breastfeeding by 2 weeks of age, and 70% have stopped breastfeeding by 2 months. Right now, there are very few interventions that are infant-directed. The bulk of interventions are mother-directed, consisting of education about the benefits of breastfeeding, both for maternal health and for infant health. Just a lot of mother support, but not really looking at things that might be of infant origin that complicate breastfeeding. And I think right now, in this time, given the increasing use of CAM therapies, especially on the West Coast, I'm kind of seeing more, and the more and more attention to integrative health care, it's not surprising at all to me that mothers are seeking chiropractic care. They're really looking for some other approach to helping them do what they are committed to providing for their infant. Okay, suckling. Suckling, it involves facial muscles, primarily cranial muscles 7, 9, 10, and 12. Also, what we know about these muscles and what we know about the labor and delivery process, it's very possible that subtle trauma can be exerted on the cranial muscles. If you think back to what you learned in the obstetric course that you took, the fetal skeletal muscles are very pliable, very flexible. There is so much pressure exerted on the fetal head and fetal skeletal muscles, vertebral muscles during the birth process, through pressures during labor and the force of labor. Positions in utero can cause a lot of need for molding. So the likelihood or the possibility of subtle trauma is very, very real. And I emphasize subtle trauma because I think right now, after labor and delivery, we are very, very focused to identifying the major trauma that is exerted on the infant, on the newborn. But we aren't as sophisticated with our assessments for subtle trauma. What is reported by chiropractors who are working with young infants is that the neonatal assessments regarding breastfeeding difficulties tend to center on certain types of assessments. Head postures, tongue motions, suck reflex, the strength of the suck reflex, the amount of stamina an infant has with breastfeeding. Right now, as I said, the bulk of breastfeeding interventions are mother-directed. This is both within lay organizations as well as what is done within the hospital. Few interventions are infant-directed. And again, mothers are seeking care. Just interestingly, kind of as a side, many of the lactation consultants who staff the hospital clinics for breastfeeding were very supportive and excited about this study. Many of them are sending their kind of more challenging mothers and infants to Dr. Hewitt because she is the one chiropractor in Portland who's working with infants. The goals of our study were to describe the characteristics of the dyads, explore relationships between the assessments that were done and the outcomes of the treatments, and also to follow up the treatments in terms of infant weight gain and how long did this mother continue breastfeeding, were the public health goals for breastfeeding throughout the first 6 months actually met. Our methods, again, were kind of very much a feasibility study. Following approval, IRB approval, and after we obtained consent from the mothers, our sample was a very convenient sample, and it was mothers who had electively, independently come to the clinic for chiropractic care for their infant with breastfeeding problems. The inclusion criteria, all of the infants needed to be full-term infants, typically developing, appropriate for gestational age. There were no gestational problems related to growth and development during pregnancy. Our exclusion criteria were that there were no health concerns likely to impact breastfeeding problems. For instance, many infants with trisomy 21 have difficulties coordinating suck, swallowing, and breastfeeding can be more difficult for them. We also had an exclusion criteria that the breastfeeding difficulties had to be present from birth on. Even though the mother was seeking care when the infant was 2 weeks or 3 weeks old, this had to be an ongoing problem since birth. And we did this to eliminate problems or to pull out the infants whose breastfeeding problems were more colic-related, problems that developed later that were likely due to something other than birth trauma. The treatments were individually decided upon following chiropractic examination. All of the treatments were modified for the pediatric spine. Okay, our measures. We used three tools for this study. They were created and or adapted for this study from existing tools. And part of this was to, as a pilot feasibility study, to examine how sensitive were the existing tools for this particular area of research. Two of the tools were completed by mothers. We had her health history, all of her pregnancy history, labor delivery history, demographics. We also collected a lot of information about her breastfeeding practices, her understandings, her infant behavior, and this information around breastfeeding was collected both at baseline and at the follow-up data points at 6 months of age. We also collected data from our DC clinician, and this was a data tool that we created together to really track what were the assessments that were being done, how did these assessments vary, and what kind of treatments were provided to the infants at each visit. We ended up with 12 different areas of assessment. They were rated very globally from 0 normal to 4 very abnormal. The assessments were done prior to each treatment, so the assessments were, in a way, retrospective. We were looking for the effectiveness of the treatment at the next examination point. Our patient characteristics. We had 12 mothers and infants in our sample. Eight of the mothers had complete data set, so we had baseline and follow-up data at 6 months of age. 3 mothers dropped out of the follow-up, and 1 mother left care after her first visit. And this was an older sample. The mean age was 35, fairly well educated, I think a very kind of middle class representation. Our infants were all term infants, healthy, large, nice size, healthy babies. The age at the first treatment for the infants ranged between 1.5 weeks to 9 weeks of age. And I point this out that the age grouping, I think, presents a lot of variability. The mean age of the infant was 5 weeks, and I think the standard deviation was 2 weeks, plus minus. Most of the mothers had consultations with lactation specialists prior to seeking chiropractic care. Some of them had breastfed before, some of them hadn't. Their labor and delivery experiences were very mixed. We were really anticipating that most of the mothers having difficulties were the mothers who had very quick deliveries with a lot of intense pressure early in the labor process. But our range went to 48 hours in labor, so we really couldn't generalize. Did the assessments change from baseline to when Dr. Hewitt made the decision that the infant could be discharged from care? And yes, they did, somewhat. Our maximum score for the assessments was 12. That was the highest abnormal assessment. 12 equaled the most abnormal findings possible. So you can see that our range in abnormal assessments was relatively small. We did have some differences when we compared pre and post, or kind of initial visit to final visit. When we looked at the number of abnormal assessments, not looking at the rating, but how many assessments were rated as abnormal, and we did have more abnormal assessments at our first visit than at our final visit, but their overall rating was not all that different. Okay. Our group differences. Important thing to me was to compare mothers who were breastfeeding at 6 months from the mothers who were not breastfeeding at 6 months. Was there a difference there? Did chiropractic care change how the mothers continued breastfeeding? The abnormal assessments were not that different. Let's see if I can get this. Initial visit was very similar. With the final assessment, it was a little different, but it was not statistically different. Hours in labor, the mothers who continued breastfeeding were in labor longer than the mothers who did not continue breastfeeding. We looked at number of bottles per day, mothers who supplement with formula. That can be a problem with continued breastfeeding. It was not that different. Total number of treatments received that the infant received for chiropractic care was not that different. When we looked at mothers' reports of how breastfeeding was going, we asked very general questions. How well is breastfeeding going for you? Mothers rated on a scale of 1 to 6. 1, breastfeeding is not going well at all. 6, breastfeeding is going very well. The difference in the mothers who continued breastfeeding was might reflect more the mother's commitment to continue breastfeeding. She did what she could to promote breastfeeding with her infant and was continuing breastfeeding, so it was going better. The mothers who had stopped breastfeeding, they rated breastfeeding a little bit worse at baseline, and they had stopped breastfeeding. I also used a questionnaire that's widely used in the breastfeeding support community with looking at different ways breastfeeding is going bad. What kinds of problems are you having? Baby is wants to breastfeed every hour. Mom is not getting any sleep. Mom's nipples are cracked and bleeding. Just kind of on. So there's 12 different possible things I asked mothers to rate as being true for them or not true for them. I thought this was very interesting. The mothers who in the breastfeeding group rated more breastfeeding difficulty problems than the mothers at baseline who stopped breastfeeding. The mothers who continued breastfeeding continued to identify breastfeeding difficulties, which I have no way of explaining that at all. And it's kind of interesting to me. I don't know what it means, but it stands out that mothers who stopped breastfeeding didn't identify that many problems. Finally, discussion. I think that as a nurse who's worked in labor and delivery, I truly think that there is a lot of theoretical explanation of why chiropractic care for an infant benefits breastfeeding. And I say that both as a person who's worked in labor and delivery, who has seen a lot of difficult labors, and also as a nurse who's worked with infants that are just impossible to help continue breastfeeding. I think to continue this area of research, we really need to strengthen our inclusion criteria. There needs to be a way of pulling out the infants who have colic. Colic right now is being recognized as a continuum of breastfeeding problems, a continuum that may develop or that may be apparent as early as 3 weeks after birth. We know that infants who are breastfed, tend to resolve colic problems earlier than infants who are not breastfeeding. It's one of those confounding variables that I think it's important for us to understand and control more to continue this examination. Finally, I think we need to work more with lactation consultants. We really need to pull infants and mothers into chiropractic care much younger than 3 and 4 weeks of the infant's age. If breastfeeding really is going to be promoted, it needs to be started the good patterns and the good breastfeeding behaviors need to be developed very young in the infant's life. Research is telling us that if breastfeeding is not developed by 2 weeks of age, it's more likely that an infant is going to stop breastfeeding or that the mother and infant will stop. And since we know that breastfeeding has such ongoing health benefits, both for mother and now there's many, many studies that are showing the benefits for a mother who is breastfed, I think it's kind of in the public health interest that we really promote breastfeeding more. As a non-chiropractor, I think you have so much to offer different age populations, and I think this is one area that chiropractic has just begun to move into, and I hope this is an area that much more research is done, much more research energy is directed. Thank you.